Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chatting with Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, which I will post a link to below this interview. Now, Brian, let's just quickly recap some of the recent moves we've seen when it's come to the underlying metal stocks. I think in the last week to two, it's been a more encouraging environment for these stocks. It really seems like tax loss selling was pushed forward about a month, and we've started to see, especially in some of the better stocks, a real basing formation, and even some stocks just continuing to move higher when it comes to these year-end moves, which, you know what, for the overall system, the overall market, the overall sector, I should say, that's encouraging because it has been a good year for metals investors, and this is even when it's coming on the heels of the U.S. equity markets also at and near all-time highs pretty consistently for the last couple months. What are your thoughts on how the metals markets, especially the precious metals markets, look to be ending this year?
I think it looks pretty good. I'm also encouraged to see that a couple of the companies I follow that have had some pretty good news, the market has responded to, which, you know, given their stock chart, you know, they didn't necessarily have to respond because I think there was some risk of them possibly, some tax loss selling. But, you know, they've responded and they've held it over the last few days. So I think that's really good. Overall, talking about the precious metals, you know, I continue to see reason to think that precious metals will be strong in 2020. You know, some of those big overarching issues haven't been solved, and I'm not sure that there's any reason to see them being solved in 2020. So I think things are setting up pretty good for at least a strong first quarter. So we'll see.
So one thing that I touched on this last weekend show too was the uptick in financing activities, especially when it came to some bought deals, some big bought deals for exploration companies, some of the better exploration companies. But I do think that is showing some at least more confidence in these general markets as we head closer into year end. What's been your takeaway from some of the financings that have been done and some of these companies that are heading into next year with some good cash positions and some big drill programs?
It's really encouraging, you know, that for me anyways, that cash flow into the sector is a major barometer for, you know, kind of what the future may hold. And like you said, a lot of those were in exploration companies, which, you know, are at the higher risk end of the pendulum. And with the amount of money that is being drawn into those types of companies, I think it's, you know, very good for 2020. And it's really encouraging. And, like we spoke about, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, the cash is so important because even great management teams can't do anything without it. And, I think, again, it sets up really well for next season's drill season and overall for the market.
Yeah, I think so too. But it still has been a very selective market in terms of jurisdiction, especially, and also the type of exploration that is ongoing. When it comes to jurisdiction, though, we are seeing still, it seems like, a lot of political tension, a lot of riots down in South America. And I like a lot of these South American countries, but I think it's becoming harder and harder for exploration companies to get work done down there. Canada still seems to be a focus. U.S., Mexico also still a focus. What's been your takeaways from kind of the jurisdictional risks that people need to discount?
You know, I think most importantly, if you're going to go into some of those more risky jurisdictions, I think the price to value proposition has to be there. If you're going to take that risk that comes with those jurisdictions, and, you know, I'm of the opinion that those places really never change. You can pick them at a good part of the cycle. But most importantly, I think you need to look at that price to value. So, you know, whether they have a deposit, you know, what is that worth? And what is it selling for? If that ratio is there for you and in your favor, I think those are great plays. And for me personally, you know, I own a company, Aethon Minerals, that has a deposit or is going to have a deposit once the merger with Albert Plata in Argentina, which, you know, Argentina has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. But when you do some economic analysis on this, the project is valued well over $200 million after tax. And with this merger, the merged company is going to have let's say $3.5 million, and their market cap is going to be under 10 million. So to me, you know, it's worth the risk to see this company forward. They've got the money to explore and develop, and we'll see what comes from Argentina. And I think that's about all you can do. If you can, you stomach the risk that comes with going to some of those jurisdictions.
Yeah, sometimes the best payoffs can be going into these jurisdictions, sketchy jurisdictions that, in all fairness, something like Argentina, man, it ebbs and flows every about 7 years. So it can turn around fairly quickly. What about when it comes to other metals? This year was so much focused on the precious metals, especially gold and silver. We are getting a lot of comments from central banks, though, about wanting to get inflation higher, and that could help out some of the base metals. We even have seen the interest just in zinc and base metals in general. No one seems to be that interested. Everyone got sucked into the precious metals this year. What do you think about heading into next year? Could something change here? Is it still very much a precious metals focused market?
Well, you know, I think, you know, people have a tendency to look, you know, back the last couple months and project that forward. And like you said, I agree that most people have a negative outlook for the base metals. And I think that probably pays heed to, you know, looking at those companies in those metals more closely, because typically when there's that sort of outlook and it's kind of unanimous that there's opportunity. You look at copper, zinc, nickel, all of these guys have, you know, very low inventories when it comes to LME and global warehouses. Demand, I think, is where most of the doubt comes because of the trade wars, because of the economies in general. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe a bump the other way, because, you know, as it stands, a lot of these, especially you look at something like copper, you know, these producing companies, there's only a handful that can produce economically at these kind of prices. And therefore, you know, you would think that the upside potential could be there. And so for me personally, you know, copper, zinc, nickel, I think with depending on what the deposits, I would still want to be picky and go for quality. But I think in any of those metals, there's opportunity. And I think especially with nickel, with what's gone on in the market there this year and heading into the new year, I think the prospects are very high.
Now, you and I did talk about FPX nickel a number of times, so we have been on the record with that one. But when it comes to certain stages of projects in some of these base metals, do you find that it's a bit tough to go for some of these explorers? Quite frankly, there just aren't that many companies that are true explorers. It almost seems like you need some sort of an asset that might not be fully de-risked, but is in some form de-risked enough that it can help put a floor on the stock price.
Sure. You know, and I still think, you know, when you're looking at stock picking, you still want to stick to the highest quality issuers. You look for the best people, you look for those large targets, and most likely the good people already have all that stuff in place. And that's why you start with them. You know, again, you know, when you're talking about exploration, I think anyways, you know, exploration can pay at any point, and because you know, you start with nothing and then you could have something. And then as you delineate that and expand upon that, that's when you kind of understand where the value of that lays. But if you can buy, you know, the best explorer in any of those base metals, I think, you know, again, that's the kind of places where you want to put your money. And then, of course, the ones that are more developed, you know, it's easier to do an economic study and you know exactly what it is. And again, doing that price to value differential, and it shows you, you know, where you sit. And again, sticking to the highest quality issuers will keep your downside risk to a minimum.
Now, what about when it comes to M&A activity? We have seen some M&A activity. It's been in some of the bigger companies in the precious metals space. What do you see coming in 2020? Do you think that money will trickle further down, or do you think that maybe some of these other metals might get at least a little interest in terms of M&A?
In precious metals, I definitely see this continuing. I think it has kind of a contagion effect, you know, as these big deals get brought out. And then we saw one with Equinox and Leagold this morning. I think you're just going to see more and more of it, especially if that coincides with high precious metals prices. The side to that, the base metals, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, you would think that this is where those big base metal producers, BHP, Rio Tinto, this would be probably your best time to buy a high quality zinc company, or, you know, even, you know, nickel, Glencore. These would be great opportunities to buy them. But typically, with most of the time, it coincides with high metal prices and therefore typically high junior company prices. So it should be interesting. I really don't know about the base metal side of things, but I do expect precious metals, especially on the gold side, to continue to be strong in 2020.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always good chatting with you there, Brian. I enjoy kind of the conversations you and I have off mic, and also what we record for everyone to listen to, just because of the level-headed approach that you take in this sector in a broad sense, and really create your own models and dive into companies to make sure that they make sense and there isn't just a whole lot of hot air there. But everyone, click that link below, go visit Brian's site. It's worth your time, and Brian will be chatting again soon. So have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having me, Corey.